When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
That's how we own it.
What's good, family? It's your girl, Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your host of Street Politicians, the place where the streets and politics meet. So, my son, sit down with the stand-ups. It's coming with another interview. And let me tell you, I've been enjoying. Like, I have enjoyed the few shows that you put out. I think that the depth of the storytelling in a long form interview with some of these people that will that don't have their stories being told on CNN and Nightline and Dateline and all of this, and, you know, these places are supposed to be so prestigious for telling these stories. It's powerful. Like, I hope people are actually watching.
Oh, no, you know, the people are engaged. Shout out to Aaron. Shout out to, you know, G Depp so far. And today's episode is somebody that, you know, is like a sister to me, and just watching her overcome what she's overcome and be where she is right now is just amazing. So today's sit down with the stand ups is none other than the BX's own Remy Ma, you know, telling her story of redemption, where she came from, how she got here, and just how she overcame. And so that's what Sit Down with the Stand-Ups is showing just how we overcome certain things, especially being incarcerated. I really wanted to focus on those who've been incarcerated and overcame that incarceration and rose above that to be successful. So I need y'all to tune in. Remy's episode is so dope. Shout out to Remy. She did an amazing job. She continues to amaze me. Like I tell people all the time, I seen Remy as a 16-year-old girl at the courthouse where she rapped to me. And now seeing her evolve into a mother, a wife, a daughter, an entrepreneur.
A superstar.
A superstar, you know, an actress. Like I just seen her actress, you know. So she's evolved into something that I would have never been able to foresee. I knew she would be successful, but never see her grow into this way. So Make sure that y'all tune into this. This is going to be one of the dopest episodes yet. And we got more in store.
You know how much I love Remy, so this is going to be good.
Sit down for the stand-ups. Remy Ma, BX's own. Let's go!
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/news and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/news. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
So welcome to another episode of Sit Downs with the Stand-Ups, and I have someone that I truly appreciate, love, respect, someone that I've seen evolve from a young lady into a grown adult woman who's always been a stand-up individual, always spoke her mind, one of the dopest lyricists in the game, from the BX, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and I told you I don't interview everybody because I don't believe everybody deserves to get interviewed. You know, I see a lot of these podcasts, no shade to nobody, but a lot of these people don't even, I mean, I don't really want to, because they going to say.
I'll say it. I just don't stop
me. I'm not going
to
stop.
A lot of y'all be just letting anybody sit in front of a microphone and just be talking. They be chatting, and y'all just be entertaining the chatting. So that makes them a clown, and you're a clown.
Okay. Remy said that. And so I even got to tell you who it is. We know, with no further ado, is my sis,
yes.
Remy Ma.
How are you today?
How you feeling today, Queen?
I feel good. I'm gonna be totally honest. You told me what you want to talk about today, and I made a decision. I don't even know, probably a couple years ago, that I'm like, I don't even want to talk about me being in prison or anything like that ever again, because I felt like people were like dragging. It was starting to become like an ongoing thing to where it's a point in my life that I wanted to forget about. And not necessarily forget about as far as, because it's always going to be with me and a part of me. But I just wanted to move on from that. But I love you. Mm-hmm. And we have a relationship that goes before both of us ever went away.
That's right.
And so when you called, it wasn't even a question whether I was going to do it or not. So I'm here, whatever you want to talk about. There's no questions that are off limits. Let's get into it.
That's the love. To,
you know, inform the people.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, and yes, we're going to talk about prison because, you know, I think what I wanted to do with this podcast, Rem, right, mm-hmm. is a lot of us who've been incarcerated, who made mistakes, who have some of us been there wrongly, whatever it is, and we did our time, we stood up, we took the consequences for those actions or even actions that we didn't do. But a lot of people, we sat inside prison mm-hmm. and we utilized that time and we came out here to be productive, right. You know, and a lot of times that is not shown. It's people want to harp on the negativity. People want to glorify the negative part, and that's not what this is about.
We also want to hold you accountable to whatever your crime was or wasn't, or whatever your sentence was, or just you being an ex-felon, period. People, there's so many things that as productive and as successful as I've been able to be since my incarceration, there's a lot of doors that I still really can't get in because of that. And they won't say it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say it. But it'll be things like they want to book Joe for. And Joe be like, yo, my sister. Da, da. And it'll be like, well, we just want you for this right mm-hmm. now. And I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't say that because then they're going to look crazy. Because yeah. what would be the reason? It's been times that I try to get a loan. I was by my house one time. One of my houses. And I was trying to get a loan.
One of my houses. You see, that's
No, seriously. You know I never got a loan before. Every house that I've ever bought, my house, my mom's house, I've always just bought it. Mm. So I never got a loan before. And that is actually in itself a result of what happened to me when I went to prison. When I went to prison, I didn't own my house. I was like doing something like rent to own or something like that. Something that somebody convinced me to do. And like, oh, does it make sense to just pay for it now? And a lot of things that I had, it wasn't really mine. And because of the lifestyle that I lived, there really wasn't anybody that could keep up their life and my lifestyle in my absence.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I came home, I was like, I'm never doing that again. If I have the money to buy something, I'm just buying it. And if I decide to sell it one day, then I'm going to sell it. And then that's just going to be that. But if anything ever happens, it's mine. Can't nobody come take it, whatever. So whenever I would get a house, I'm just buying it. So this one particular time, because I had other properties, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a loan on this one, like half of it. I'm still pay half. I'm going to get a loan for the other half, and I'm going to use the rest of the money that I would have paid for the house to do what I want to do to it. And they sent me through so many. Like, I sent every pay stub, every bank statement, like everything that you could do. My credit score was what it was supposed to be. I owed nobody no money. And eventually I was like, I want a letter telling me like why y'all denied me, because eventually they denied me. And the first reason on the denial letter was my criminal history.
Wow.
And I'm like, I would understand if like maybe I had a money crime or a fraud dealing with some type of insurance or something that would apply to a home. It made absolutely no sense to me why this was happening. It was like, you know, we're sorry, whatever, whatever. And I was just so pissed off. I was like, you know what? Fine, I'm gonna just buy it. And I bought it in cash. So it really didn't, like, they thought they were stopping something. Mm-hmm. But for the average person, they would have just literally been stuck renting because they couldn't get a loan. And these are things that people don't talk about. So when I look at the things that's wrong with the rehabilitation that they love saying, and correctional, they don't really rehabilitate anything.
That's a fact.
They don't correct anything. They definitely don't prepare you for what we're going to step into. They rip you literally out of your world right now. You don't get to go home. You don't get to pass gold. You don't get to collect 200.
That's
and
right.
Put you in this chaotic ass place where you're surrounded by it, every type of walk of life. And don't get me wrong, I met some of my best friends that I have.
That's what I was about to say.
That I met while I was incarcerated. Those are my friends. Those are the people that come to my baby shower, my wedding, and my house. The people that I knew prior to that, I really don't even deal with them like that. You really, that whole, you find out who your friends are, you really do find out who's there for you, who's not. And when I came home, there was nothing. They just decided, okay, today's the day we're going to just throw you back in. I didn't know what Twitter was. I didn't know what Instagram was. I never had even had an iPhone. When I left, my phone still had buttons on it. So, like, I'm got my big stupid fingers, and I'm like, yeah, I just want a phone with buttons. It was things like that. I walked around for months with a jail ID because I didn't have enough points and enough of my stuff. All my stuff was everywhere in disarray. I had to find out where everything was so I could go get a driver's license. It had been so long since I had a driver's license that I had to take a test again. I got, like, this freaking 19-year-old kid being the person that's telling me what I'm supposed to be doing. She's like, oh, you just made it. I'm like, what do you mean I just made it? Like, I've been driving since I was 16. She's like, oh, you didn't look back when we were parking. I'm like, but I got a camera. Like,
exactly. Why did I look back?
I have a whole, it's still procedure. I was like, miss, if you don't give me my driver's license right now, call your mom. Like, it was so much that people just
don't talk about
at all. Like, trying to reconnect with my son, who was 7 years old when I went away and was about to be 14 when I came home, who was a total different person. And I'm a total different person. Like, we have a different relationship. He was a kid in the first grade who I never really yelled at him, never really had to tell him anything. Now he's a teenager in high school trying to hang out with certain crews, trying to experiment with weed. And just, so now we have a different dynamic. He's just like, I don't know this lady. I'm like, and I don't know you. But no one prepares you. How do you reintegrate not just into society, but how do you get the relationship back with your children? How do you even prepare yourself to interact in a society where everything is social media, everything is, you know, technology, and you've been placed somewhere where they're still using cassettes? Where
still using cassettes? Wow,
in 2023,
that is still crazy.
Using cassettes? How?
I thought they didn't. They still using cassettes? I gotta ask some questions because I thought, wow, they still using cassettes.
After cassettes was CDs, so
they ain't even evolved to CD. Wow, that is crazy. Because I remember I had every cassette. I had Remy's album on cassette.
It's crazy.
When I was in Sing Sing.
Like, it's crazy.
And the thing is,
that no one talks about,
like, exactly. And the thing is, they hold you. They judge you completely who you are. Off probably the worst 20 or 30 seconds of your life. A mistake that you made. Or some bullshit.
Well, how about that? How about, it's not even the mistake that you made. Whatever the DA or the prosecutor put on your paperwork.
Said you
because
did.
That's not even that's right not even and exact. Because I have to tell people all the time, like, yo, you know everybody that's in prison is not guilty, right? The same way that everybody who you walk past in the street, because they're not in jail, everybody you walk past is not innocent.
That's right.
Like, it's some real crazy people that probably should be locked away that you walk past every day. Everybody, you think y'all out here protesting for the police and the wrongdoing, you think every time them and the DA and the prosecutor and the judge got it right every single time?
Never.
Like, are you kidding me?
Never.
You don't even like how they operate to get you there.
Never.
So, like, what are you talking about? And then after you do that, their goal, I swear, it annoys me so much because I be trying to, like, you think people just think logically. This is
there's no logic no more. People don't got common sense.
Don't ever do a trial by jury. The average person is dumb. You'd be better off chancing it with a judge because they have to at least play by the rules that they set up.
Exactly. This is free game, y'all.
But it's so crazy because I'm like, dude, the whole thing with a prosecutor, with a DA, with the whole judicial system, when they're telling their accolades and they want to stick their chest out,
you
what they
the
say,
accolades.
No, what they say, what is their conviction rate?
Yeah.
So that tells you their goal is to convict.
That's it.
They're not here to prove you're innocent. They don't care.
At all.
Very, very rarely do they be like, damn, there's no way we could jam this person up. We tried to give him a plea deal. They not taking it. Once the evidence come out, we really might not win this one. All right, cool. That's very rare. Most of the time, they'll just give you 20 charges that has nothing to do with whatever happened.
Hope one sticks.
And hope one sticks. So this way, that their conviction rate can keep rising. So how are we really sitting here expecting some type of justice whose person, their whole goal is to increase their conviction rate? They want a high percentage of convictions. Like, that, it just doesn't make sense. But people don't look at it like that. I was looking at something yesterday on one of these blog sites. They had posted a girl. She's in school, and she's arguing with a teacher. The teacher's there, and she's in the teacher's face, and she's like, "You're not gonna talk to me like that. You're not gonna talk to me." And the teacher like has her phone, and the girl, she's in her face, and the teacher does something like this, like, "Yo, get out my face." But she pushed her. Mm-hmm. No one saw that. No one even saw the fact that this is supposed to be a teacher. You, even once you see her get up, you should have removed yourself, sit down. All right, let me call somebody. Push them. Girl's like, oh, don't push me. Whatever, whatever. It just keeps going. It escalates more and more. The girl's like, she grabs the girl. She's like, yo, get your hands off of me. I'm telling you, I'm going to start swinging. She tells her, I'm going to start swinging. Get off of me. She holds her. Girl starts swinging. The teacher throws her on the floor. The girls fighting, whatever, whatever. They pull her apart. The caption says, though, teacher's unable to walk. She broke her leg after the girl threw her to the floor.
Yeah, they had her in the hospital with a neck brace. I seen it.
I watched the video. I see who threw who to the floor, who's supposed to be the adult. Whatever. Whatever was saw in the video, we don't know what happened that led up to that. What pissed me off the most out of everything, if you go through the comments, so many adults that was like, yeah, send her ass to jail. She needs to go to jail. And I'm just
crazy.
So nobody's going to say call her parents?
Oh, because we've turned into a police society.
Nah.
We think the answer to everything is incarceration, is police, is lock them up,
until
get rid
not.
Of them.
Until we see a wrongful death. That's what we're saying. Then it's like
until it's you.
Reform.
You understand what I'm saying? It's all these people that's holier than thou. They want everybody to go to jail until it's a situation that happens to them. And then they were like, no, like I shouldn't be in jail or not my child or not my family. You understand what I'm saying? And that's one of the things that people don't understand. Anybody can end up in prison. You know what I'm saying? Anybody, any situation, you can wind up in prison. A lot of people judge and they look at you and they be like, oh, I listen to the comments all day when people be like, whoa, they need to go to jail. When we was fighting
not
for MDC.
Not even knowing what entails.
We was fighting for MDC for people to have lights and heat because it was freezing. They didn't have no food. And they was like, well, they shouldn't be in jail. So you telling me because somebody's locked up, That they should freeze to death, they should starve, they should be beaten. And this is the mind state. And that's what it is for me. You know, showing people that we are human beings. And a lot of us evolve and come out. So many successful people that I'm going to have on this show who've been incarcerated, who've done some of the most, you know, successful shit, some of the greatest shit that a lot of times you don't really even realize that they've been incarcerated because they just show the accolades and they put the rest to the side. But it's a lot of us.
You know, that was one of my things because I'm like, I keep having to talk about that. And I get upset about it. Like, when I see that, I'm sitting here like, yo, if I see one more person, I literally wrote, my comment response was so crazy that I was like, all right, now I'm not posting this because I'm going to be on here for the next 2 hours cursing people out.
I'm telling you.
I didn't see not one person like, yo, call her parents. Not one person like, yo, the teacher's supposed to be the adult. When do you de-escalate it?
And that's the same thing with the police. Who has the onus? Who has the responsibility? If you're a trained individual, we paying you. Mm-hmm. You're paying. You go to training. You go through all of these things to deal with these. If you don't have the ability, everybody ain't built to do it. Right? So that's why everybody doesn't sign up for the job.
I know. Yeah,
because it ain't for you. You understand? But you get it. That's why you ain't going to do it because you know ain't nobody going to get in your face. But you understand that.
But that's a lot of the issues with in law enforcement and even in the correctional system. A lot of people, if you ask them, they don't have that job because that's their dream job and that's what they want to do. Very rarely you might meet somebody. I know one person, I promise you, they was like they wanted to be a cop since they was young. Mm-hmm. Coolest kid in the world. And he says why he wanted to be all these things. Most people, they find themselves needing a job, they're out of school, out of college, and they just need to make ends meet. And now they're taking this job on that they don't really want, they don't really understand the responsibility of it, and they're frustrated. So they take, you know how many times I would be inside and I'd be arguing with people like, yo, you don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to be here neither.
Exactly.
Like, you mad.
But they
like,
locked
you chose,
up too. You know that they doing a bid. Because they call their time, they schedule a bid. What's your bid? What bid you got?
Yeah,
they actually doing the same bid you are.
They don't have a phone. They can't be in the outside world. They in there with us. But at the same time, you chose to be here.
Not me.
Like, and my punishment for whatever I did or didn't do was to be here. Not to be here and have you come in here and take out your outside shit on me whenever you feel like it. Like, there were people that just literally come in with a chip on their shoulder and just be an asshole to everybody all day for no reason. Well, it was a reason, but nothing that had to do with us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, those was the ones that they was either very abusive to inmates or they was the ones that something got done to them.
That's
because y'all don't know what somebody's going through. Like, I never look at anybody, and a lot of it, yes, it has to do because I've been there before. Before I went to prison, I knew mad people that went to jail. And I thought I knew what it was and what it entailed. It's not the same as not being there. Like, I have arguments with people all the time. Like, nah, I'm telling you, my man was in there. And
but you wasn't in there.
Or my boyfriend was there. Like, it wasn't
you. Exactly.
It's not. I don't care how many visits you went on. I don't care how many phone calls you answered. I don't care how much package you sent, how much mail, how much comments. I mean, you weren't the one in there. This is a system that is designed within, what is it? What is the statistics? Like 90 days or something like that to, like, have you go crazy?
Yeah, that's what I tell people anytime. So being in the box, like I said all the time, when you go to the box, I think you lose some level of mentality. Like, you lose mental health. If you're in the box for over 40 days, to me, there's some level of something that you lose. I have
weight.
Like, definitely weight. But I'm talking about mentally. Like, you start hearing your thoughts. It sounds like you screaming at yourself. Like, it's so much. Like, I tell people, if you never, like you said, if you never been in prison, I can't explain it to you. It's right. Some shit that you actually got to go through. I hope you never go through.
Right.
So don't get involved in that. You know what I'm saying? That's just something. Just listen to the people who've been through it and then, you know, learn from that. And then that's what I be trying to do, keep these kids out of there. And they think, because when we was young, it's crazy. In the hood, they made you feel like you wasn't real if you didn't go to jail. Like, niggas would glorify the niggas who went to jail. They made it seem like it was some badge of honor. You know, every time a nigga came home, he was celebrated, he was glorified. And when I went in jail, it was the worst place I ever been.
In my life.
And I'm like, what the fuck was niggas happy about being here? Why was niggas making it seem like it was something real about being here?
I don't even think it was that. And I think maybe it's one of those things that over the years, it got misconstrued. Like, you know how they got certain holidays that started out as one thing, and then over years, like, I think was a celebration is that you came out and survived it.
But the, like, niggas was making it seem like,
I get what you're saying, but I'm thinking that's one of those things
where it started.
It started as, like, if you think about it, let's not talk about how we grew up and we seen people come home from jail. Let's go back 100 years. Imagine what prisons had to be like then. And somebody from our community went through there. When they come home and you came home, you didn't get killed in there. You survived. You still got a piece of the person that you was, that will be something to celebrate.
That's a fact.
You understand what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
I think that's one of those things that over the years that it just got misconstrued. But it's a miracle to come home and be any type of normal.
Any type.
Because it's so easy to be strung out on drugs. It's so easy. They don't even diagnose you. You diagnose yourself. You go to the RMU, you tell them, listen, I'm depressed. I feel like I want to kill myself. Let me get some Seroquel. They're like, okay, now you're in the med line.
They give you anything you want.
Now you're in the med line, and now you a zombie every time they call meds all day. And a lot of people did that because it was so unbearable. Because the truth of the matter is, when you go away, people do forget about you. And I don't think me actually being here now and have been there, and I look back at times where I feel like I probably may have not been there as much as I should have been for somebody. Time goes so much faster here.
It does.
It goes so much faster. So you be saying in your head, like, I'm gonna go over there. I'm gonna make sure I get up there. I'm gonna make sure I'm missing the package.
You count every minute, like every second. You don't miss anything. Mm-hmm. Like, weeks could go by. I'd be like, damn, is that already? You never say that in jail. Mm-hmm. You never be in jail. Like, damn.
Like, we're in February.
It's Friday
right
already.
Now, right, it's now we're like, yo, it's February. January went mad quick.
Man, no, we never say that in jail.
Everything is in slow motion.
You feel it. You see it. You hear every sound. You remember all the shit. It's something that you can't speak. But we're going to come back.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
I just go through, because I want to give just a full interview.
Okay.
Right? So I want to describe Young Remy. Like,
me?
Young Remy. Describe Young Remy. I never, like, I always imagine, like, Little Remy. Just to describe Young Remy.
How young are we talking about?
So, like, from, like, 10 to, like, your teenage years. Like, right before you rap. What was Young Remy, right? Like, before she started rapping. And when did you start rapping? Tell us all of that.
Probably when I was, like, 11.
11.
11, 12. Prior to that, I want to say, like, from as far as I can remember, like, pre-K, I remember going to Head Start. I remember going to kindergarten, first grade, second grade. All of that was, like, perfect. Like, I had my mom, my dad. We lived in a tenement building on Forest Avenue. It was me, my older brother, my younger brother, and, like, that was my life. Like, my dad owned a, this is when VHS tapes was a thing. He owned his own store called Mr. Movie, where people come and rent videos and send it back. So I would spend a lot of time in his store. Like, a lot of my friends, their parents didn't have cars. Like, we had a car, and we had carpet, and we had a microwave, and, like, things that people just didn't have. Like, I knew that we had things that people didn't have. Like, mm-hmm. the concerts. I remember going to a Prince concert and going to a New Edition concert.
You went to Prince?
I went to a Prince concert.
Oh, that's
first
fire.
First concert I ever went to was a Prince concert.
That's fire.
Went to a Prince concert. We went to New Edition. We would go to, like, you know, the Disney on Ice, see Silverhawks. All of these things, like, I remember vividly, clearly. And then, like, at some point, things changed, and drugs got involved, and, you know, my mom was going through what she was going through, and my dad, they separated, and from there, I want to say probably from, like, 8 to 12, like, those years right there, we were just, like, in and out of shelters. I remember going to, what did they call it? I don't know what it stood for, but they called it EAU. It was, like, over by the Grand Concourse. Right over the bridge, and that's where
I know
you
what you're
went.
Talking about.
And to apply to go to shelter.
Shelter, yeah.
And we was going through that with my mom, and that was with that we lived in so many places. I remember I lived in a hotel in Harlem on like 145th Street. We lived in Sheepshead Bay in Brooklyn. They just like would move you around. So I would change schools a lot. And I was just angry. I was just mad because I hated it. Like, we had some certain places, we had to share a bathroom with another family. It was just disgusting. And then my mom had my little sister. So it was like my brother at the time, like, he had moved with a family. My older brother lived with a family member. And it was like me, my little brother, and my mom ended up having like another baby. And I just remember, like, yo, hating life. Like, I wanted my life back, like, the way that it was. And I never, ever got that back, by the way. But that pretty much started the animosity, like, for the world. Like, why is this like this? Like, why? How do you go from, you know, every day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, mom, dad, drive to school, pick up, go hang out at the store, come back. My mom worked at the World Trade Center. Like, how do I go from that? And now, like, we're in a shelter, like a tier two with other families and using the bathroom that's down the hall. And I got to keep switching schools. And I liked school. Like, I was like one of those kids that actually liked school because I'm, in case y'all don't know, I'm really smart.
Me too.
Like, you're right. But like, people tell me something like, yo, you should go back to school. Like, you could do it online. I'm like, I would never like doing online school because how's everybody going to know that I'm the smartest in class if we're online? I don't like that.
I hear
but
you.
I love school, and I still always have to keep switching schools. And it just put something in me that I was just angry all the time. So by the time I started turning into a teenager, I was like 12 years old, going on 13. My mom had got her own place. She finally got placed. We got placed, and we were in Queens. And that's how I know this area. I was like, where are you at? Just tell me the address. Like, I'll find it. Like, I grew up here in Queens for, like, my whole high school up until I was probably, like, right before I met Pun and Joe. And I moved back to the Bronx and was going to school over there. But I was just angry. And then my mom was like, she was going through her own stuff that she was going through. And I used to be so mad at her. And it took years for me and her to get into a space where I can even, like, talk to her because I felt like it was her fault.
I get it.
I felt like it was her fault, and I used to cry a lot. I used to fight a lot. And then when I had my son, when I was a teenager, thinking like that would make my relationship with my mom better, it made it worse because I'm like, I knew what I would do and what I would go through for my son. I was like, yo, like, why she wasn't doing that? Like, I never factored in, you know, the drug addiction and what was going on and how young she really was. Like, you think of your parents, and they just always seem like they older than you. My mom was, like, in her 20s. You know what I'm saying? So you think, even I had this conversation with my brother one time, because I used to be mad at him. Like, yo, he was my older brother. Like, yo, why you ain't do this? Or why you? He like, yo, I was a kid, too. He's like, it seemed like I was older. My brother was, like, probably, if I was 12, he was, like, 18, 19. He was a kid. So when you young, the same way when you 20, you'd be like, they 40, all these 40-year-olds, like, they seem so much older than you until, you know, the ages start leveling out when y'all get older. And I was mad at my brother. I was mad at my mom. I was mad at anybody in my family who I felt like, why none of my aunts came? Or why my grandmother didn't do this? And by the time I was a teenager and, like, my mom was, like, my mom was away for a little while. We had, like, this whole big thing where my crib got raided. And my little sisters went with their dad, and my little brother went with his dad. And my brother, he was over 18, so he could went wherever he went. And I didn't want to be relocated to a family member. So I like, ran away. I just left. Like, I'm not going down south. Like, now I'm just taking care of myself. And that may have been the worst decision in my life because it pretty much, I know it changed the trajectory of whatever my life would have been had I went and lived with my dad in Georgia. But, you know, it might have been the best thing because I wouldn't have been here to meet the people that I met and do the things that I did to become who I am today. But I went through a lot. Like, I was at your trial. What was I doing?
That was crazy.
Sitting with the people that I was with at your trial.
That's the thing. So I tell this story often because, you know, it's kind of like my little brag thing. So BMO, my man Steve, they bring Remy to the trial. She's a teenager.
I was like 15.
She's like 15 years old. So I'm fighting for my life. I'm sitting in this trial. I'm like, these niggas really trying to lose me over some shit I ain't even do. And I had just got my deal, whatever. So they like, yo, I need you to hear her. I'm like, what are you talking about here, nigga? I'm like, what the
right
fuck
now.
Are you talking about here? I'm fighting for my life, and you bring somebody I need to hear. When I tell you, we walked outside the courtroom, we on the front of the Supreme Court steps. I never forget it. And she started rapping. I was like, nah, she tough. I said, if I get out of here, then we had to do something with her. And Beam was like, nah, she with me. Don't worry about it. I just want you to hear her though, Mike. I'm like, Beam, you know this is family. So he like, we'll talk about it later. But I just never came home. You know, it was like 2 days later.
So crazy.
I blew trial. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, so that was like the first time. A 15-year-old woman. She was always dope, man. So when I seen her.
And now, if you go to that same exact spot and you look up on the pole, I got my name on the street sign.
You wrote, oh, that's exactly. Your name is this.
Exact same spot.
That is crazy.
They gave me a street sign on the Bronx Walk of Fame, so.
Right there. On that. See, look at this.
It's crazy, right?
That is crazy, man. So, wow. See, this is why I celebrate you. You know what I'm saying? Because you see, it's so many small degrees of separation that, you know, that greatness has taken a turn. Like, our lives have taken turns. And, you know, the things.
But do you ever think about that sometimes? Like, let's just say. Because at that time, like, I don't know if y'all understand, like, he's deep into what he's doing right now. But at that moment, when I was standing on those courtroom steps rapping to him, like, he was who he was. Like, it was my son, Lefty. Could have been a right palm. Like, that. It was a big thing.
It was a thing.
If you wouldn't have blew trial.
I think I used to think about it all the time, Rem. And it was something that, like, the first couple of years that shit haunted me. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing, you got to think about it. When I first got signed, like, I was the man. So everybody that started coming, watching Beans blow up, right? Watching Bleak and them drop their album, watching 50 come. Then 50 came, and it was like, wow, these is the niggas that was, mm-hmm. they was behind me, literally. Right. Not saying nothing
not
wrong, but
next to me.
You know what I'm saying? These was the niggas that was behind me. I remember I was just having this conversation with Fifth at a Boogie concert, and he was like, and I was remember we was at Rucker, and he came to me and was like, yo, they had me as next in the Source magazine. He was like, yo, you remember what you did last month? I'm going to be there next month. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it was these, they was behind me. So watching everybody blow and having that conversation. And
so I asked you that because I went through that. I actually was probably at the, almost not the climax, but I was there. Like, number one records, like, had already, like, you know, cleared all the competition.
Yeah.
And one day is not that.
It's tough.
And I used to be sitting in there, and, you know, the Double XLs is coming through, and the Vibes, and all these magazines, and I'm just looking like, and for a minute, it wasn't nobody. And then you start seeing people coming out, and it's the same thing. All these people was under me.
Mm-hmm.
And you like, damn, like, I wonder what my life would have been like. And it's the same thing for the first couple of years. You'd be like, yo, it's stressful.
It's
like,
stressful.
You don't want to watch videos.
And everybody is coming to you with it.
Yeah.
Because they know, they like, you got your friends like, man, fuck her. She ain't nice. She can't fuck with you, Rem. Yo, oh, they trying to copy you. Yo, you supposed to be here, and you like, I don't really want to hear that right now.
Like, because you're upset. Like, because
you're upset.
It was even more so. Like, I will wake up, I have people, like, at my cell, like, yo, I go on a drive tomorrow. My sister's a big fan. Can you say, if you know what the fuck?
Yes.
Right now, like, right
cause you
now.
Because you don't woke up from a, like, dream that you was home, and then you open your eyes, and you still in the fucking prison, and they knocking on the door talking about yo, it's a new dude in here want to battle you and all. I'm like, bro.
I said that on the record that I did on the Plato Plomo album with me and Joe. It's me and Joe. And
make sure Stephanie, you get close to the room.
It's me and Joe and Stephanie Mills, and it's called Dreaming. And I used to be like, yo, I used to be in my cell dreaming I was home. Now I'm home. And I'd be dreaming, I'd be back in the cell. Like, I promise you, I used to be in jail. I have vivid,
you feel like,
clear,
I swear to God, it's
dream that
you was like,
home.
Oh shit. And then, yo, I used to have my eyes closed, and I'd be like, God, please. And I open my eyes, me be home. Cause it's so real. Don't make this be a lie. And I open my eyes and still be in that cell.
But do you have dreams that you like
yes.
home?
Yes. I haven't had them lately because I've been, but I used to have them all the time. I used to be the scariest shit.
I have them all the time, and they be so real.
It used to be, like, the scariest shit to me.
I have all my greens. I be in a mess hole. Like, it's crazy. Like, the mind is It's an amazing thing.
But what was the process? Like, how did you overcome that and get to a place while you was incarcerated to just focus on, all right, when I get outside? Like, what was your process?
Honestly. I just kept waking up every day. People like, yo, you did that. You not, no, I really didn't. I just woke up every day. And eventually it was the day for me to leave. Like, that shit was horrible. Like, every day you could ask any of my friends. Like, I told you, most of my friends, that's my friends, was locked up with me. They used to be like, yo, she is a blow. Because I used to be like, yo, I got to get out of here. Like, all day. That was all like, day. That was my slogan. I got to get the fuck out of here. I cannot take this. Like, because it'll be times, and I never be wanting to say it because I don't want people to get the wrong impression. But there were times that I actually was all right. Like, you it's becomes
And then it
life.
Clicks in your mind. You like
now I'm having too much fun.
Yeah, what
like,
the
now,
fuck?
Hold up. Like,
for real.
It would literally be in the moment. Like, we'll be sitting there. We done have somebody bring us something in. We chilling, drinking, smoking. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm in jail.
Nah, this is horrible. This is horrible. Like, I gotta get out of here. You're killing the vibe.
Fuck the vibe. Nah, we in jail. I need to get the fuck out of here.
That was me. But I honestly just woke up every day. And also, I refused to be crazy. Like, I feel like growing up, the way we grow up to where we got to come accustomed to seeing people strung out on drugs, whether it's neighbors, people that we know in the hood, our parents, our relatives, like whatever, used to hearing gunshots, used to being, you know, abused by police, used to being poor, used to being hungry, used to not knowing, like all of those things that we have become accustomed to because it's just part of our life. Like, I mean, my parents was on drugs. All of my friends' parents is on drugs. Like, you know, okay, my father sells drugs. All our fathers sell drugs. Like, it becomes something that is just the norm. That's not normal. Mm-hmm. Like, hearing gunshots and not even ducking and just keeping walking like, oh, they shooting over there. That's not normal. Like, that already, I feel like we start out traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
Being poor, I don't care what nobody says. It's traumatizing. Not knowing where your next meal is going to come from, not knowing where your coat when it starts snowing is going to come from, having to cut your pants into shorts because it's hot as outside. All of those things that come with poverty is a mental thing. It fucks with your mental, being teased, being bullied, all of the things that come with it.
Yeah.
And then you grow up, you're a little bit older, or you could be like the people on social media and they be like, you do one little thing because you're already angry and hungry. They like, put that little kid in jail.
Right.
Like, so you start out going to jail and to institutions from a kid. When it happens to you as an adult, like, you come home and you have PTSD. Like, I still don't sleep through the night. I cannot sleep through the night. Like, they literally, from the rounds that they do every hour, live body counts, we got to move, we got to wake up. Like, I don't sleep through the night. Anything wakes me up. I have real bad insomnia.
I feel you. I used to, you'll listen to me. It took me, I've been home 16 years now. It took me like 10 years to get past that. Literally took me 10 years to get past that level of insomnia. You know, so I definitely identify with that.
Like, you can't sleep. Just even coming home trying to eat regular food. Like, or just being in the sun. Like, I run from the sun.
For me, you know, it was one of the big, because you was there when I came home, right? And I remember I used to be around you. And I remember a vivid time when we did the celebrity game. Remember that celebrity game that we did? So this was a time before when you and Joe wasn't cool. Mm-hmm. Y'all was going through whatever. So I mean, we sitting next.
It was always cool.
I was always cool, but y'all just wasn't speaking at that time. So y'all was. He came there and he was performing. He was performing Lean Back, and I remember you were sitting next to me, and I was like, "Rem, you got to go perform." He was like, "I'm not performing." I'm like, "Rem, you gotta go perform." You was like, "No," and I was like, "Rem," and you looked at me, and because he didn't expect you to perform it, because you was supposed, and you jumped up and killed it, jumped on the bleachers and all that. Yo, it was one of the dopest performances because it was impromptu, and you didn't say nothing, but it was this energy, and I was like, we need to see that. You know what I'm saying? So watching y'all, you know, rekindle y'all brotherhood and sisterhood was dope for me. You know what I'm saying? Because both of y'all was people that I respect and love. So seeing y'all rekindle that was dope. But that was such a, I don't even know if you remember that.
I remember. I don't remember the whole thing, but I know we had on the yellow.
We had the yellow. Exactly. We were sitting on the bench, and Joe got up, and he was doing lean back. And then you was like, I'm not performing. I said, Ram.
Ram shit trying to
you,
be
I'm telling you. I never forget it. And she looked.
That's another one of those cases where I never realized, like, he was how young he was. Think about it, because, like, Joe got me by, like, a little bit more than 10 years. So if I'm 19, 20, Joe's, like, 29, 30, or, like, fresh out of his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
He's not who he is now. And
you
don't realize that because, like I said, when you're 19 and somebody's 29, they seem, like, ancient to you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really start leveling out till you're, like, 35.
You like,
and they seem like, oh, okay.
I get it now.
Like, yeah, exactly. But also, a lot of that was we having our own trauma.
Growing pains. We going through shit.
That we done went through. When I came home, I promise you, before I left, one thing that I did consciously do, besides not wanting to lose my mind and be crazy and people like, yo, jail fucked her up, because that happened. Like, it's people that left and came back. And I'm like, oh, nah, she's done. It's over for her. Like, I literally would think, like, of all the bitches that hated my guts, like, this bitch would love for me to come home and be out of my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Not happening. That, and also, I wanted to be able to, like, one, I had a son who I had to think about. I think a lot of times it'd be so unbearable. They don't even think about that. Like, it's that unbearable. But also, I wanted to be able to be like, nah, they didn't win. Because I used to be in there like, yo, this is some bullshit. Like, I never talked about my case. I never got into the details. Like, just mainly at this point, because it's like, I already did the time. Like, people going to still think whatever they think. Whatever I say is not even really going to matter or resonate. And y'all got that. But what I am going to do, I'm going to bust my ass. And I didn't even think it was going to work with music. Like, because let's be honest. Like, people, up 7 years, people could be going 7 months in this clip for them.
It's a trap.
So I didn't even think it was going to work with music. But I was like, yo, I know I'm not going to be poor.
That's right.
I know I'm not going to be stuck there. And they tried everything. Because even after I got out, remember, I had 5 years of post-release supervision. And they made sure they held me down to the last day at a curfew. Can't leave before 8 a.m. Got to be in the house by 8 p.m. for the entire time. Can't go anywhere.
They did the same thing to me. I couldn't travel for 4 years. They wouldn't let me do nothing.
I remember one time they had called us to perform at All-Star Weekend, at the All-Star Game halftime. And I didn't have enough time to get permission to go. I was like, fuck it, I'm just going. I'm going to go. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, I'm saying, like, if you see me on that, like, they can't hate on that.
Oh, they don't hate.
What? When I came back, when I tell you, she was calling me like, where did you go? I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I got all of these calls talking about they didn't see any paperwork where it was approved. So I'm like, so I'm just sitting there thinking of the mind state. Like, so y'all got people that's out here literally catching new cases, doing drugs, selling drugs, not getting a job, not going to their programs, nothing. And y'all see somebody that's just seven, almost like they whole bit never got caught out of pocket on curfew, nothing. Y'all see them performing at halftime at the All-Star Game, and the first thought that comes to your mind is like, I want to know if she had permission to be there. I'm trying to lock her back up.
That's the truth.
Like, that is crazy to me. Like, beyond, like, when I tell you, I went crazy in there. Like, I was like, lock me up. I don't care. Like, at this, because you just get so frustrated. We're just
you're
like,
trying
yo.
To build your life back, and you're trying to put the pieces, and they trying to put every block in the way to stop you from doing it. And that's what this system is designed to do. And that's why you gotta celebrate the people that overcome it.
The people that overcome it, because it's a lot that you go through. It's a lot. Like, I remember, like, something being told, like, I couldn't drink, but I also couldn't be in a picture with somebody. Like, if somebody was holding a bottle or they was drinking, like,
it's like still being in jail. You can't, like, somebody hold up a gang sign.
But if I'm not drinking it, like, what is the...
It is crazy. It's literally open air jail.
Like, where's the album? Or where's this? Like, yo, it was so hard to be creative, so hard to travel, so hard to even work with the stipulations that I had on me. And all the while, everything is new to me. I still don't got no ID. I still don't even, like, know what I'm going to do. People were, I don't want to say scared, but that's what it seemed like to me. Like, people were scared to work with me. Oh, she just came home from, wait, what was her charges? Is she going to do something one of us? Like, oh, we don't want our name attached to that. Like, it was a lot that you have to deal with, like, trying to just maneuver in a society that you've been out of so long. So you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I move around? But you don't even really know how to move because you ain't been here.
That's right.
It's like you could grow up on a block. Like, I grew up in Castle Hill, but I haven't been there in forever.
You can't just go back there and know how to move.
I wouldn't be able to move around and maneuver right now today the way I did when I met you.
That's like, right.
I could have took every back block. All right, police is probably going to be stuck on the block right here. Let's go this way. Go over here. This is where you get the good pizza from. This is like, I don't know nothing that's going on over there. So you come out and you trying to put the pieces together. You ain't really got no bread. Like, I mean, if you do, lucky if you do. Like, I'm totally honest. Like, my shit was not where it needed to be. Like, I got a few thousand in the bank. And I was like, all right, what we doing? Everybody expect you to, especially when you in this, everybody expect you to come out and just turn back into the person that you was the day you left. And it's not that.
It's not.
It's not that at all. You don't know nothing. Whatever you had going on.
It ain't there.
It's not there. Your belongings, you don't know where nothing is. It's everything. It's crazy.
You know, and so in that time, you know, you're building different relationships. And you know what I found out being incarcerated? Some of the smartest, most genuine people that I've ever met were in prison, right? This stigma that everybody's just this criminal, the worst people in the world. Some of the nicest, humblest, most educated people, and some of them are never coming home again.
Yeah,
like some of my OGs that doing 20 and 40 and 50 years to life for crimes that equated to $10. One of my OGs was locked up for robbing a lady. Old lady in the garment district, they said he robbed her at gunpoint, and all she had in her wallet was $1. They said he took the wallet, and all she had was $1. But he still got charged with 20 to life because he was a predicate felon.
Right.
And he was down there doing nothing. And he was one of the smartest people. He was one of the most humblest people. Speak to that. How many relationships have you built with individuals in prison that have lasted, that you can say, like you said, a lot of them, your friends now are people that you met while you were incarcerated?
Well, first, I already know somebody watching this. I'm like, well, he wasn't that smart because he was robbing people and he was this, like, not like, there are things that happen in people's lives that they really be feeling like they back be up against the wall and they don't have no choice. Like, how I'm going to feed my kid, how I'm going to this. Like, yeah, it's not the best thing to do, but I can't get a job. I can't do this. Like, it's you never know what somebody's circumstances that pushed them to do whatever they did. And also, that doesn't make you who you are.
And
you
also, a lot of these crimes happen when you're young. Like, a lot of these dudes is doing all these times for seven. They were 17 and 16. And but when they did.
Even when you're not that young, think about it. When you was 25, you the same person that you are when you're 30, when you're 25?
Nope.
Were you the same person that you were when you was 35, when you was 30? Like, you're not supposed to be. So your mentality, your thought process, all of that is different. And I feel the same way. Like, I pick my friends. Like, I get accused all the time. Like, oh, I treat my friends better than I treat my family. It's like, because I didn't pick y'all. Like, y'all just came with the package. Mm-hmm. Like, if I could have picked I'd have picked Beyonce, would have been my sister. Oprah would have been my mom. Oprah would have been my dad. Like, I'd have been lit. Like, what are you talking about? I did not pick y'all. I did it. And people feel like just because y'all are related and y'all are born in the same family that they automatically just get carte blanche in your life. They don't have to earn your respect. They don't have to earn your love. They don't have to earn your trust. They just get it. I don't feel
entitlement
like that.
Is crazy.
I don't feel like that. Like, I feel the way I feel about my friends because I picked my
and
friends.
And they literally earned it. That's the only way they got in my life because they did the things that I like.
Exactly.
You were in my
love.
Life and a lot of shit you did, I never even liked ever.
I don't like you. I never liked you. I don't even think you cute. What are you talking about? Like, I don't even know how I'm related. But I promise you, like, I pick my friends because of the qualities that they have. And like you said, all, like, thankfully now, like, most of my friends that was like that, I hung out with every day, everybody, finally, everybody is home and everybody's off of papers. So that's it would love. Be crazy because I either have my wedding or I have, like, my baby shower and I have to, like, make sure they're not on the cameras or make sure they're not in the footage or make sure, like, you know what I'm saying, just so that they could share these moments with me. And a lot of my friends were either incarcerated when they were teenagers and came home, like, when I mean 17, 18, came home when they in their 30s. A lot of them are, like, mostly all my friends, we all kind of had the same thought process. Like, none of them is doing bad. They all got their own crib, their own car, like, whatever, they business mind. Like, we kind of, I don't want to say we had a pact because we never sat down and was like, this is what we're going to do.
But like, it was like my energy.
We talked about it so much, like, yo, when I get, like, it was the I'm never, ever coming back here type situation. Like, we used to be sitting in there because we all had, like, a lengthy amount of time. Some of them had more time than me and had been there before I got there. And we used to see people leave.
And come back.
And come back because what they would do is, if you have a drug, like, it's the way the system is set up is so crazy. Like, if you have a drug problem, it's a problem. It's an addiction. They know.
They're going to lock you up.
They're going to lock you up. But they know we're going to let you out. And you're going to come back again. Yeah. And we're going to get a whole nother check. We're going to make some more money. And we're going to let you out because you're going to come back. Most people who either have a violent crime or most of them, they're one instance that happened. It was an instance that happened in that one moment. It's probably never going to happen again.
And they know that.
And they
and
know
that's
that.
Why they don't want to let you back.
And that's why you have all the time. And that's why you. That's why we're not giving you that chance. We need you here because you good money. You stable money. That's a guaranteed check. And we used to be sitting there like, yo, I'm never coming back here. Ever. Like, they was tired of me saying, I got to get out of here. But when I was like, I'm never coming back, that was echoed across the table. Like, yeah, nah, we're not coming back. And everybody, like I said, like you said, intelligent, smart, that got different ideas, like, just know how to treat people, like, know how to, you know, some people that don't even know how to be a friend. They've never had a real friend, so they don't know how to be a friend. They don't know how to have a real friend. They just, their whole mentality is just to be grimy and do foul shit that wouldn't even fit right. Like, it's none of that. And I would have never met them had I not went to prison. And I used to be so mad, I promise you. I used to be sitting there like, yo, God, like, you dead ass. You serious? You really got, like, when my first appeal got denied, my second appeal, yeah, I it was so bad. Like, one of my friends, I swear, I know she's going to watch it. She's like, this bitch really said that. She used to try to make me go to church every Sunday. I used to be like, I'm not, fuck, ask me to go to church again, and I'm not fucking speaking to you. Like, I was mad at God. Like, yo, this is fat. Like, because you, allegedly, you know my heart. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this to me?
That's
like, you're killing me. You're killing me. I used to be saying, like, God, you are killing me.
I was like, imagine me. I'm like, God, I'm 10 minutes away from being one of the biggest artists, and you lock me up for some bullshit? Like, take 7 years away from, 7 to 14 years away from my life? Like, so, I didn't even get to drop an album, Rem. I didn't drop a single. Only thing I was on was the Rough Riders. I did the Violators combo. I never did a video. I never did a show. I never did nothing. I was, the day before I went to jail, I was supposed to be on the Vibrant Thing remix. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to go, Chris Lighty told me to go to the studio, do that. I was like, I ain't even make it to the studio. Right. I ain't do nothing. So when all this shit coming out and it's the biggest songs in the world, I'm like, this is unbelievable. So I knew that feeling. So listen, I want to ask you this.
Wait, I want to finish that
Okay,
thought.
Finish your thought.
I was mad at God, right? But in my reason, I didn't understand why. It probably wasn't till I came home and it was like, a regular, it wasn't even, it was one of my friend's birthday. It was my big ass house. We sitting there, I made everybody dinner. We made shit that, like, we liked while we was locked out. I made this, like, chicken that I used to make and my macaroni salad, and we all sitting there, we drinking, we smoking, we laughing and shit. And it, like, dawned on me, like, this is why. I would have never
you
met
needed
them.
Needed these people.
Mm. I'd have never met them ever in life. There's no way. Like, one is from Buffalo, one, she's from Mount Vernon, but I would have never probably met her. My other friend, she's from Queens. I think she lives in Texas now. Like, I'd have never met these people. And they're so important to my life right now. So I'm like, maybe, like, and I know that there's certain things that I pour into them that change their life as well. And I'm like, maybe this is why he sent me there.
Listen,
I still be a little bit mad because like, bro, they was but my friends who I got there. Like, yeah, I was hanging out with the same group from the day that they took me out of
there for a couple months.
The day that I got out of segregation and I was in general pop, like they was, we was cool. Like, I could have really did this in like 2 years, like, and still been. Like, but it probably wouldn't have been the same because we went through so much in that time that I was there. Like, these people that, you know, why you're, and I tell people that when you're incarcerated, you could still be more incarcerated. Like, I would be keep locked. I'd be in shoe, and they would be risking their little bit of freedom that you have in jail to try to bring me food, to make phone calls on my call list, to make sure Pat knew what was going on. Like, all of these different things that they didn't do that because I was Remy Ma.
They did it because, right. And I heard an interview when you were saying, like, most of the people in society didn't even know you. Right. Like, when you went to prison, those friends got to see you in totality. So those, like you said, those are the friends.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
That you chose and that chose you based on the reality. I want to go, right, because this is a feeling that I always had, right? When you got charged, right, and you go into trial, what was that feeling? For me, this shit was the worst. Like, I lost, like, 20 pounds going to trial. Like, I didn't eat. I was going through so much mental stress. They was playing with my case. They dismissed my case one day. Dismissed it. The judge threw it out. Like, the case is dismissed. I'm in Miami at the Super Bowl. I get a call from my lawyer 2 weeks later, like, oh, it's back on. I'm like, fuck, you mean it's back on? Mm-hmm. Didn't they just dismiss it? Well, they put in another motion. So I want to know, like, what was your mind?
At first, I was like, this is bullshit. Like, because I know what happened. Mm-hmm. I like, and then I've never, besides your trial, I don't know anybody that ever went to trial. Most of the time people cop out. I think when you go to trial is because you think it's really a justice system. Mm-hmm. And they're going to find out the facts and they're going to find out the truth. And this is, everyone's going to look so crazy. That's not it.
That happened.
It's nothing like you see on TV. Your jury selection is a joke.
A joke.
I was just literally sitting there like,
oh, these niggas really trying.
But each day, to the point that I would go home, and I remember sitting there and I was on Pat, because what they did was anybody who they thought would be supportive of me, or like they put them on their witness list. So you can't sit in the court if you're on the DA's witness list, because you can't sit in there.
Yeah,
because
you can't hear other testimony.
Yeah, I would be in the courtroom basically by myself. And I remember one day, like, I was going home and I was like, I'm going to jail.
I said the same
I'm going to go to jail. Everybody's going to forget about me, because I know that's what happens when people go to jail. People forget about people. Everybody's going to forget about me. And this is crazy.
It's crazy.
Like, I remember the day that shit dawned on me. When I'm in court and a judge keeps saying, well, Miss Ma, that is not my name. Mm. Like,
Miss Ma.
Yeah. Like, Are you kidding me? Like, or when they were, oh, well, what do you have on today? And what are you wearing today? And I'm just like, And the same thing, I was so mad. Like, I remember going to jail mad. And then making me write this letter, apology letter, so that the judge would be, and I'm like, I don't want to write. Like, so when people see me and I'm crying because I'm pissed. Like, I don't cry when I'm sad. If I'm crying, I am on the level a million. Don't touch me. Don't breathe. Don't even walk too close to me, because I'm going to explode. I was so mad because I'm like, I know this is not what I want to say. And this is not what I want to do. And these are the games that you have to play, because these people literally have your life in their hands. They can give you any number between 5 and 25 based on a whim. So if you rub them the wrong way, that 5 could turn into an 18.
Fuck the reality. Like, fuck what you feel. Yeah. All of that.
Yeah. So I remember feeling all of that. But that's one of the things that when I came home, and I was trying to say this earlier, besides not wanting to be out of my mind crazy, I didn't want to come home angry. Because somewhere in that middle, I was that around a don't ask me to go to church a fucking again time. Mm-hmm. I was angry at everybody. I was like, and this bitch, I done helped this bitch do this and that. I ain't seen her not once. Or this thing. Like, I
remember,
like,
you know what's crazy? I remember I don't know why I was adamant about making sure I sent you a card, like, every birthday. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew how important that was, being incarcerated. So I did it. And I remember you sent me, I don't know what it was. Either you sent it to somebody and they took a picture of some shit you wrote on, like, I don't fuck with this person. Boom, boom. I got love for you, Mice. You always held it down. And you start writing names. You're like, I ain't fucking with none of these people. Don't ask me about none of them. I was like, damn, they done pissed. They done pissed. They done pissed Reb the fuck off. You know
because
what I'm saying?
It's so unbelievable. Like, unlike you, I had records. I hear them playing on the radio. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way you in a bar and you don't see a bottle of Remy Martin. Said, it doesn't cross your mind. Like, you wasn't driving and my song came, like, nothing. So I used to be so, and I'm like, one day, just because I was like, yo, if I go home
with that,
this mat, I might come back here.
That's real.
And I had to forgive people. I had to literally be like, all right, I know the pieces of shit, but it's cool. That's I don't real. Fuck with them, but I'm not mad at them. I'm never fucking inviting them to my house.
But I'm not mad at them.
I'm not mad.
And when I see them, I'm going to say, what's up? How you
I'm
doing?
I'm going to say, what's up? Can I get you in? No. Absolutely not. Sorry. I don't have any tickets. I'm not doing none of that. I'm not doing the fake friend shit. I'm not doing none of that. But I'm not mad at you.
Because it's too much pressure on me to be mad at you.
Nah, it wasn't the pressure on me. I want to do something to you. It's nothing. It's we crazy. Are totally different. It's
See,
not no, the
for
pressure.
Me, it's too much pressure on me.
I
want to
fucking crush
I do.
You right
I
now.
I
want to
do that too. But,
like,
but I know that me wanting to crush you, it impacts me. Because if I'm mad at you and I want to crush you, then that's emotion that I gotta calm down. I gotta figure
out.
I'm a Taurus.
Ah, see, a couple more weeks you'd have been a Gemini
no,
like me.
No.
Now,
no, no.
The difference with me is once I crunch into a little, I feel better. Like, I feel so much better. Now, I bowled your ass up like a piece of fucking aluminum for you and got you out here. I feel so much better. But I feel like knowing that I can't do that without the repercussions or the consequences, that's the part that bothers me. So I have to physically make myself unmanned. Tell me, whatever it is you're doing, you know what? You got that. What I'm going to do, though, I'm going to remove you so much. Like, because I realized at some point in my life, I had set myself up into a way that I really don't see people that I don't want to see.
That's a fact.
If I don't want to see you or I don't fuck with you, you're never going to see me. We don't live in the same neighborhood. We don't shop in the same stores. I'm never going to run into you at the supermarket where I'm taking my daughter to school. None of that. I made it possible for certain people to see me and to reach me. I went out of my way to drive to certain places and go to certain things. And even people in this industry, if I don't like you, it's so easy for me to not see you. And 9 times out of 10, if I don't like you, you really don't want to see me either. So we're helping each other.
Exactly.
I'm not going anywhere where I'm going to see you. And you're making sure yet that you're nowhere where I'm at. You're going to stay the fuck out my way. So when I realized that, I'm like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. You don't have no number to reach me. You can't call me. Everybody know if you give my number to somebody, oh, not only is they clipped, you're clipped. It is done. You did what? You gave who?
Yeah, that's
call
a definite
me on three-way
violation.
With somebody if you want to. Call me, pass the phone to somebody, and put somebody on FaceTime.
It's a violation.
Oh, it's so open for violation. You for that. Like, but everybody knows that at this point. Like, they be like, yo, I seen so-and-so. They tried to get me to call you. I was like,
that's
smart. Because you know it's not happening. But I had to do like that for my own sanity. Mm-hmm. And that's how I remain in the space that I'm in. But let's be clear. That shit fucked me up. Like, I still don't sleep. Like, I haven't been home as long as you've been home. I just got off of parole during COVID, right before COVID.
Wow. That's crazy.
After COVID, after I finally finished my home bid, I was still stuck in the house. I'm like, are you kidding me? A fucking pandemic? I can finally go outside?
Yeah,
I can't go outside?
You're supposed to cut that.
I was so mad. Like, this is, you know what? I was like, yo, God is, you funny.
He funny. He said you want to make God laugh. You tell him your plans, like, man, because he will make you.
Like, I still got to sit down or I'm going to die, maybe. All right, cool. You got that.
Yeah, COVID was.
You don't got to tell me, but I've literally just been able to come outside. And it's so crazy because I see so many people that, like you said, they've been in my shoes and they be like, yo, like, how did you bounce back? Or how did you? And I be like, yo, I'm going to be honest. I was lucky and I'm blessed because the majority of the people that, especially that did as much time as I did, they don't be all right.
They don't.
You never catch up. I'm still playing catch up. So when I be hearing like, oh, this prison reform and this, I be like, yo, I be, you know how many times I be wanting to curse you out?
I know,
I'm like, oh my God.
It ain't no prison reform.
Like, it's no.
It's prison transform. No, you got to transform the whole system.
The whole thing. Like, I think it's insane how you can be facing 5 to 25. That is a big fucking range.
That don't even make sense.
That's like telling me, oh, okay, how much is that sandwich? Anywhere between $5 and $25. How much is the burger? Yeah. That's it. It's not like either I'm going to get one burger for $5 or I'm going to get five burgers for $25. You can't tell me, oh, you know, it's today, $22.
That's
come back
crazy.
Tomorrow, $8.
Yeah, it's nobody should have like, that level of discretion on somebody's life.
No, the spaces. And then when you look at it, the people that are in these positions, when they get caught doing something, what they all do? Kill himself.
Yep.
Oh, why you do that? What happened?
They can't deal with the same.
What happened?
They can't deal with the same pressure
because
they put us
under.
You know
what you was doing to people like, oh, no,
I ain't going in with
like,
them.
I'm not going in there. Like, it's, I think it's insane. I feel like there's so many things that have to be factored in. The person's age, the person's background, their mental health, all of these different things. Like, this, sir, I'm not going to lie. You doing anything with kids, anything like that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That might be the only thing. But everything, there's always something that has to be factored in. You cannot have this just broad spectrum for everybody because literally me and my four friends that we saw, we all had, like one of us had, two of us had 8 years, one of us had 15, the other one had 18. But if you look at the cases and how did they come up with these numbers? No priors. Or like it's just freestyling.
That's what they did.
They literally sit in that courtroom and be freestyling.
And
how?
Because they want to break us, man. And unfortunately for them, unfortunately for us, they didn't. And you out here looking amazing. You've evolved. You've grown. You are just like you're a role model to me.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? You know why? Because
role model after
Remy
me.
Is a role model. Because let me tell you why.
I'm not taking it.
Because she's what authenticity looks like, right? And you constantly evolving. Now she has a daughter. She's a wife, you know, and she's constantly growing. She's, you know, still doing music at a high level. I watched her at Little Kim's concert the other day, and I was like, look at my sister, killing it. She bodied the performance, came out there, bodied the performance, and just, you know, and it's like you just getting better. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of, like, watching you and Joe, like, evolution, like, you getting, as you get older, you getting better. You seasoned. You know, you're moving around, you're in different spaces, you're able to coexist. Like, it used to be just the hard Remy. Right. You know, it's Remy. But Remy knows how to still be hard when she got to, but for the most part, Remy can blend in with anything. I'm watching Remy on TV. I'm watching Remy do podcasts.
You see me be doing like, my talk I'm show just seeing her do a talk TV show.
Like, I'm watching Remy. Like, I'm seeing the evolution, and this is what I want to celebrate. This is a woman who went to jail, did her time. You know, they thought they broke her, and she came home, and she's constantly evolving. She's successful. She got houses. She got shows. She got a beautiful family, black love. Like, she's the picture of black love. Like, her relationship and her marriage is goals. You know what I'm saying? Her daughter is fly. She is the golden child. You know what I'm saying? She ain't want to give me a pound. Look, she was white, but she was fly. She had a dope little outfit on. So, you know what I'm saying? Just watching you just continuing to grow. Chrome 23, I got to come to one of the Chrome.
It's huge. I have it's four women, but I recently started incorporating males into it because of the pay gap and the audience and what they want to see. Like, I realize that I can't just do strictly women the way I want to this second. So you just got to blend it in. No, so what I do is I just do a big male headline, and then I put all the fire girls like
that's how you do it. I mean, listen, you figured out it's all about marketing,
yeah,
you know, and strategic. But
it's cool, it's dope. Come out, we at Sony Hall on 46th Street in the city. It's gonna be an amazing thing. You know, you're gonna be good. But I just want to say real quick to anybody that may be watching this, that may be tuned in, that two sides. If you have anybody that you love, that you care about, that loves you or care about you, and they are incarcerated, reach out to them. It's annoying. They're going to treat you like you're a prisoner. They do it on purpose to make you not want to come back. Go visit them. Put a few dollars on your JPay. Put a few dollars on the... Things are so much cheaper in prison. $150, $200 will probably last them too much. You can only spend $50 at a time at commissary the most. Like, they can't get packages no more. They got to order everything. Like, the littlest thing helps. Like, the way I saw people who the authorities thought didn't have anybody treated, they get treated so much worse. Like, they used to do foul shit to me, but they knew this, like, we can't really go too crazy.
Exactly.
Because it's going to get crazy. But the people who they felt had nobody, they got it the worst.
That's a fact.
The people who didn't really have money like that, you're making 11 cents an hour, they had it the worst. Imagine going to bed hungry night after night for years to the point that your body is accustomed to eating small portions of food. But I just saying, like, just check on your people. That's all. Check on them. It don't have to be every day, once a month, once every 2 months. Like, all of those visits matter. And also, be safe out here, because the slightest, it don't even got to be you. You could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Somebody say like this. So I seen them standing right there, and you could find yourself in some shit that you can't really even get out, because you don't even know how to get out. You don't have an adblock, because I don't know where the hell I was at such and such time.
Lord have mercy.
Like, I didn't know I was going to have to remember where I was at last week at 9 o'clock and like things like that. Oh, so shit. Just be, try to be safe, try to watch your surroundings, watch the people around, and just, I want to say this the right way. Just be mindful that what I said earlier, everybody that is incarcerated is not guilty. And everybody that's walking around the streets is not innocent. Mm. Okay?
That's real. I want you to say one more thing before we leave. Just give advice to some young girls coming home from jail. They did time. And what do you tell them, you know, to do to be successful? What would you say to them?
If I'm being totally honest, I can't, it's like when people ask me, how do I be a rapper?
Mm.
Like, there's no formula. It's no nothing. You ask me if you want to be a cop, I could tell you, do this, go to the academy, you're going to be a cop. I don't know how great of a cop you're going to be, but that's it. Same thing with a lawyer. You go this, take this class, study this, pass the bar, you're going to be a lawyer. Certain things, there's a path to it. There's really no path to being successful once you've been incarcerated, because you're going to run into a lot of obstacles, things that you're not even going to understand. How does this correlate to my incarceration? It's not going to make sense. And you have to be strong enough to find another way and to push through it. And it may be times where you feel like you're going to break, and you have to be strong. You have to try to reach out for your resources. Unfortunately, you asked me to talk to women. There's way more programs and stuff to help men than there's women, because there's more incarcerated men. So when they design these programs, they're more geared towards the men. But I would even go to some of those. Like, okay, it's geared towards this, but this is my situation. Can you help me? And there's so many people that are really starting to understand this system and the process, and there are people that want to help you. You have to find them, and you're going to need help. You know, it's annoying. A lot of us hate asking for help, especially after being incarcerated, because you have to ask for everything. You need people to bring you soap. You need people to put money on your books. You need people to, like, anything that you have to ask somebody for. So when you home, like, you be having that mindset, like, yo, I'm not asking nobody for nothing. Like, don't let your pride jam you back up, because what you don't want to do is be back in prison. So, you know, there's no foolproof plan or method that I could tell you to have for success, but so that you don't lose your mind or end up back in a predicament that you really, really don't want to be in, you have to reach for your resources, reach out to people like Mice, who might have a few connections that might be able to help you. And that's all I really could tell them. It's a gamble, and it's hard. And pray.
Well, I want to say thank you, and continue to celebrate you, and continue your evolution, you know, into this woman that I've watched and grown and call my sister, mother, you know, and you're still the dopest rapper, you know. Because she's from the BX, you know what I'm saying? That's what we do in the BX. But, you know what I'm saying, just continue to grow, man. You are an example of a stand-up individual. You are an example of someone who's evolved, someone who has turned pain into purpose, and continue to persevere. And, you know, a lot of us have been incarcerated, and a lot of us will be incarcerated. Unfortunately, that's the system we live in. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish, man. And I want to say, continue to do what you do. Sit down with the stand-ups. Remy Ma, we appreciate you, queen.
Thank you.
Love.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.